You may be seated. I actually kind of preached a version of this message last Sunday in Birmingham at Lamb of God, and so, but it was from a different place in John. So when I read the gospel reading for today, I was like, "Oh, cool! I've kind of already got this one. This, you know, God, you pitched me an easy softball to hit today because I didn't know I was doing the message till this morning." John is. I'm finding John to be a very unique gospel. Some of y'all that's been here before, because I kind of did a version of the last Sunday's thing here before, have heard some of this. But if I ask you, what would be a one word description of John that you would give to me? If I said, Judge Armstrong, give me one word, John. What comes to your mind? That one word about John. Okay. Anybody else got a word? Well, several months ago, and because God's been dealing with me about this issue, and I had a chance to do a homily, and I looked in the 11th chapter of John and began to do some research, I found out this is a startling fact. I have now learned two facts about John that just have, like, caught me, like, what? You're kidding. But they're the facts, according to Google. The word love, which we all associate, just about everybody will associate that word with John, because he is the one that Jesus loved. Here's the deal. The word love is used 56 times in the book of John, which is pretty impressive. You know? But the word believe is almost double, 98 times in the book of John, which also happens to be more times. The word believe is used more times in the book of John than it is in the other three gospels combined. And so when I did a homily on Lazarus and was really looking at that and looking at this word believe, I discovered that the story of Lazarus was not about Lazarus being raised from the dead. The story of Lazarus was about Jesus trying to get them convinced to believe. And to find, and for them to understand and come to the realization that they didn't really believe in all. So today in the 6th chapter, which is the gospel reading today, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Because it's the same kind of thing that we're talking about. The other fact about John, which is totally mind-blowing to me, and I still don't know whether I can believe it or not, even though Google told me, rest assured, it's the truth, you know. And being a truster of Google, I got out my Strong's Concordance and looked it up. How many times do you think the word faith is used in the book of John? Zero. Zero. Now, Google said once. So apparently there's a translation that uses the word faith one time in the book of John. But it's really not used about having faith in Jesus. It's a kind of like a dig at the Pharisees when it's used. Kind of one of those things like, you don't have faith deals. So I want to look at these two words a little bit. And this is, again, you know, guys, I'm not a theologian. You know, I'm not the smart guy. I'm just a guy that wades through life the best he can, trying to trust Jesus and follow him. But as I've thought about these two words, because they are somewhat interchangeable, but when I think of faith, or maybe I should start, when I think of believe, there's things that I believe. You know, I believe that if I jump off of here, that I will land out there, maybe. I'll land somewhere, because I believe with no doubt in my mind whatsoever in what we call the law of gravity. There are certain things that we have such a, it's a total no doubt about things that we believe. And to me, that's when I say believe, that's what believe means to me, that I'm trying to say is I believe this. That means I have no doubt, no reservation. It's an absolute. It will always work. It will never fail except by a divine, supernatural intervention of God. And that's kind of what gravity is. So believe for me is that type of word. You know, you can kind of define it a little differently perhaps. But believe to me is like a settled deal, whatever it is that I believe. So if I tell you, like, you know, you tell me, like, you know, like, I'm, you know, like, I really love you, and you're like, really, you know, like, you're my best friend and stuff. If I believe that, then I never doubt that, you know. I kind of feel like I have that kind of little bit of a relationship with Bob, is that I believe that Bob is my friend. And I believe that he has my back. Like if I really mess up, and I'm not saying like someone is messing me up. I'm just saying if I really mess up, that Bob would still have my back. That's not to say that I have to go before him as a judge, that he's going to cut me loose, but he will be there for me to help me and to restore me in every way possible. Because I believe his words. I believe his friendships and his friendship. So to me, that's belief, is that I don't doubt it. I don't wonder about it. I don't really think about it. It's just an absolute. Now, the word faith for me is a kind of the same, but it's different. And that's probably because of all the bad teaching that I've heard. You know? I had people tell me that I just needed more faith. Have you ever heard that? You just need faith. You just need to have faith. So faith is a word to me that has kind of an activity thing to it. That is something that I kind of need to do. It's not that I need to go do something. It's just that I need to actively believe something that I don't actually believe. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you don't 100% believe in this deal. And we'll just say for healing, for instance, if you're sick and you come to the Lord and you come with faith that he will heal you, but there's that little thing there that you know that, well, he may not. Because we don't always know the perfect will of God for our lives. There may be a reason that he doesn't heal that day, that he does it the next day, or maybe he may never do it. We know that Paul had a thorn in the flesh, whether that was a sickness or somebody that was aggravating him to death. You know, I'll let the theologians argue that. But Paul walked in faith. And we all are called to live and walk in faith. But for me, faith is more of like hoping, and believing is more it's done kind of a deal. And so here in the book of John, if you read through it, and I challenge you to take the book of John and start reading it all over again and start paying real attention to the word believe, and perhaps even mark it or at least make a note of it, and then go back and look at that and see what John's really saying in this book. And so this is what God's been dealing with me about, the idea of believing. It started probably 2 years ago, at least, where God started poking me about that. You ever get poked by God about there's an issue that you just don't want to deal with, maybe? There's something that you just don't want to, especially if you're in leadership, you know. Like somebody comes up with something and you're going like, that is so goofy. But you don't want to deal with the goofy, and you don't want to go telling people that it's goofy. You just don't want to be mixed up in it at all, but God won't let you alone sometimes. And there's sometimes like this about believing that God began to poke me every chance that he got and ask me the question, do you believe in whatever the situation was? The biggest and best example of that I have is with my son. Some of you have heard this story, and you know. My son was diagnosed a little over a year ago, April, May, with an extreme aggressive melanoma cancer that was already at the stage of 3D. Very aggressive. And so I happened to be going to Africa, and it was a mole on the side of his head, and he had it operated on. And I talked to my daughter-in-law just before I got on the plane to go to Africa for about 3 weeks. And everything was good. The doctors were real happy. The surgery went real well. They actually dug into his skull and moved part of the skull to try to be sure to get it all out. And then I went to Africa for about 3 weeks, saw hundreds and hundreds of people healed because we was doing this big conference thing where there was like, I forget how many thousands of people came to it over a several-day period of time, but it was thousands and thousands of people came, and we prayed literally for hundreds and hundreds of people every day, seeing people just miraculously healed by God. And so then, you know, I came back, and if you've ever been on a trip like that to Africa, they're brutal. I mean, you're just nonstop. You're just going and going and going and going, and you're eating sometimes not that great of food. And so by the time you get on an airplane, you're just kind of beat. You're tired, you're hungry, you're just really kind of beat down. So I flew back to America and got into the Atlanta airport and found my gate. That's what I do when I fly, is if I have a the change of planes. I get off one plane and run like a madman. I do the O.J. Simpson thing, if those of you are old enough to remember those commercials, running through the airport and find my gate. I don't know why I'm paranoid about that. I mean, I may have 2-hour layover, but I'm running through the airport, find my gate, find the concourse, find the gate. And so that's what I did. And so then I go back to the central area, and I call my son to check on my son. And that's when he was back in the hospital, was just fixing to leave the hospital, and where they had operated on him again and removed 21 lymph nodes out of his neck. Didn't know what the prognosis of that was going to be yet, but that's when they had told him he had an extremely aggressive form of cancer. And it was at the stage of 3D, which the next stage is 4, which is 4 is always a bad. That's the phone call I had. And my son told me that, and I could tell that my son was scared, and it scared me. And so I tried to keep it together enough to have that short conversation with him, then hung up the phone with tears in my eyes. And my first thought was, really, why God? And what I heard was, do you believe? See, I think it's important for every one of you and me, more so than you even, to know what you believe. You know? Now, that's not to say that you're going to know perfectly and be able to explain perfectly what you believe about crazy, about what I think of as crazy stuff, which is stuff that you can't, it comes to be a mystery. That there's not real explanation, because you have great, great men of God throughout history that have argued over these different points in the Bible. And they're equally great theologians. There's just some things that are mysteries. But the question is, put here in this chapter, is do you believe in Him? It's not that do you believe in whatever, but do you believe in Him? Do you believe in Him for every situation that you're confronted with, particularly the really bad ones? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe in what the true nature of Jesus is and God is, which the Bible tells us that God is what? Love. So do you believe 100%, like I had to come to a place of believing 100%, that even if my son died, leaving 3 children, do I still 100% with no doubt in my mind believe in God's love? I had to face that and realize, not really. You know, I had some doubts there. They were doubts because of my emotions, of my flesh. But when I pressed those down and just got before God and God and spoke to God, and then Mark, one of the greatest things that in Mark, I believe it's 9, is said, this guy's talking to Jesus and about Jesus asking him, does he believe? And the guy just finally goes, I believe, but help my unbelief. See, that's where I was at. I believed a lot, but I was confronted with there was still some doubt, and I needed his help to overcome that little bit of unbelief. And I'm really pretty certain that I'll have that conversation again about something someday. So it's vital now. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Not about the doctrine of the Trinity or the doctrine of sovereignty versus free will or baptism by this or that way. No. What do you believe about Jesus Christ that is unshakable? Because if you don't settle that, the enemy would try to shake it. And I've had so many friends that were clergy that have left not just the ministry, but some of them have left Christ because they had not settled what the belief was. You know, a great example of that would be, I don't know how much y'all know because Selma's not on the oceans, but I got interested in lighthouses at one time. And like when you go to certain parts of the country, these lighthouses are just out there. And these storms come in, and like you can Google these pictures or YouTube them of these lighthouses, and the waves are literally crashing over them. You know, they're crashing into them, and the waves are just being charged, you know, they're just being pushed up by the power. So they're all going all the way over the top of the lighthouse. And there's a guy in that lighthouse. And I'm telling you right now, if you was put in that lighthouse and you didn't have 100% belief that that lighthouse could withstand that kind of a storm, you'd be scared to death and trying to get out of there. Those guys just set it out because they know, they believe. They're not hoping, they're believing. And that's the way we need to be. We need to settle it so we're like those lighthouses, so that no matter what storm comes in to our life, that we know, we know that we know that we know that God's faithful and that God loves us. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.